And we've saved lives on both sides. We've saved children's lives. I mean, it's fucked up to even talk about that. But I mean, through Cops Direct and Troops Direct, we have saved the lives of children by virtue of, or I should rephrase, cops and service members have saved the lives of children and other innocent people because they used what we were able to donate to them. I take no credit for a life being saved. I wasn't there.
Hey guys, don't forget to check out the Street Cop Training Conference, April 23rd through the 28th, 2023 at the Gaylord Opryland Resort and Convention Center. It's going to be a great experience. 5 career-changing days, some of the most profound speakers in the industry. Guest speakers include Rob O'Neill, the guy who killed Bin Laden, Kyle Carpenter, the youngest living Congressional Medal of Honor winner, Fox News host Tommy Lahren, Navy SEAL American war hero Jason Redmond, Sheriff David Clark, Sheriff Mark Lamb, and Sheriff Wayne Ivey. You'll also spend time with all of our Street Cop instructors at this event Monday through Friday. We'll have a great lineup of courses in addition to our great speakers. It will be a week that you will not forget. You'll be thankful you came. You don't want to miss out. Check out streetcop.com on how to register. If you're going to use the room code, make sure you book it from Sunday through Friday. That's what the code's good for, and it's about half the price of the regular rate. But those rooms are running out, so make sure you sign up now. We'll see you there. Hey guys, welcome to this episode of the Street Cop Training Podcast. I'm your host, founder and CEO of Street Cop Training. My name is Dennis Bonino, and I have with me a real honorable guy, almost finishing his career in lovely San Francisco. Aaron, I'm going to chop your fucking last name up like everybody else's, but I'm going to give it a shot. Nairbon.
You're very, very, very close. Nairbon. So like N-E-A-R-B-O-N.
Dude, so tell us who you are and what you're about, man. Tell the Street Cop fucking world.
You know, I'll take you back a little bit because I grew up in Oakland, California. Just awesome. I loved Oakland. I still love Oakland in many respects. I wouldn't go back there much anymore, but all through the 70s and 80s, grew up throughout there. And we moved out to the suburbs in the early 90s, but nearby still as time went on, you know, but we were still in Oakland with, you know, work and things like that. And back in the day, my dad and my grandfather owned car dealerships in Oakland. And we got to know a lot of the Oakland PD guys. I mean, bona fide, legit, real deal street cops, you know. We were helping them out with stuff where, you know, all the old trade-ins that we would get in that were beaters or go off to the auction or the car crusher, we'd let their task force use them for just 24 hours and let them use them as undercars. And they'd never get burnt because they're using them so fast and bringing them back to us. If you remember the days of Nextel way back when with the two-way chirp stuff, some of the crime prevention units didn't want to stay off the main comms for Oakland police. So we were giving them all these Nextels and stuff. So they just do what they do, just helping them hook stuff up and, you know, be better, you know, cops in Oakland, you know, do what they could. You know, as this time grew on, I just had this affinity more and more and more for law enforcement, made some great friends in that realm. And understand, I've never been in the military. I've never been in law enforcement in a, you know, actual role. So, you know, there was always that love and that relationship and that respect for law enforcement. And that hasn't changed. Then in 2010, I'm going to fast forward a little bit for some, and you'll bring it all back some context, is that in 2010, my best friend is deployed to Afghanistan as a Marine Corps company commander. So he's got 120 Marines under his command, and they're in Sangin, Afghanistan, with Helmand Province, the worst place in the world to be, and they're taking fire. I mean, they are infantry grunts. And his birthday is in May, same time as my dad's, and I call his wife up and I say, I want to send him a care package for his birthday. I've never sent him anything before. And I said, what should I send him? And she goes, send them just the basics. And I go, okay. So I get this big old box from Home Depot and I fill it full of toothpaste and power bars and all that kind of stuff and send it off to him. He gets back to me and he goes, man, I needed all this stuff, but all the Marines under my command need it even more than I do. So I'm giving everything to them. So I'm saying, Dennis, you know, don't you have all this stuff? Don't you, wherever you go, don't you have the funding, the support, the budgeting for the stuff that you need? He goes, dude, we got nothing. This, you know, I start sending out the door all the stuff they're requesting of us that they are needing so they can do their job, you know, perform their missions, get home safe. And that was the birth of an organization that still exists very strongly, Troops Direct, that, you know, is here. What happened then was guys that were getting out of the military that we had supported in around 2015, 16, were saying, hey, I'm now in law enforcement. I've left the military, but now I'm a cop. And we don't have the budgeting or the resources to get riot shields, trauma care equipment, X, Y, and Z as a cop here. You know, are you able to help us out doing that? And I'm like, that's not what we do. You know, we support the troops. But then I go, I was getting more and more calls about it. And so I go, you know what? There's another need here. And it's to support law enforcement in what they do here. In a very similar manner, Dennis, to what our troops do around the globe for us. I literally say, you know what? Let's focus hot and heavy on first responder trauma care. Let's enable cops to take care of themselves, a fellow cop or a citizen, when bad things happen. Mass shooting, school shootings, whatever it might be. Car accident. Someone's ejected, bleeding out. Who's the first one on scene 9 times out of 10? It's a cop. And that was the birth of Cops Direct as a nonprofit back in 2016. And now, you know, we're cranking, and it's 2023 now almost. And we've supported countless departments in like 35 plus states with stuff that they just didn't have the budgeting for or the resources to get. So that's what we're doing every single day is Cops Direct.
That's awesome, man.
Forgive the long monologue and entry, but
so,
that's the lead up to where we're at, you know?
You're not in law enforcement now?
No.
You are a fucking law enforcement looking motherfucker though.
Yeah, I know. Don't let the aerodynamics fool you, right?
Yeah, you look like what do you do for a profession?
I now between Cops Direct and Troops Direct, it's a full-time job. I mean, I'm in the office literally at 6:30, 7 o'clock every day, and I'm the last guy to leave the office 9 times out of 10. And before that, I had a great career in real estate and property management and all that. And when Troops Direct started really becoming something that I never intended to create, but I mean, God, we had Navy SEALs reaching out to us. We had Green Berets reaching out to us. We had Marine soldiers in places more than just Afghanistan reaching out to us. I remember talking to my dad, and I remember saying, Dennis, I said, Dad, I think I'm going to hang up this cops or this Troops Direct thing because I'm just too busy with work and I can't do this too. And, you know, I got a baby on the way and all these kind of things. And he goes, what do you want to do? I said, I want to do Troops Direct because I love it. I love everything that it represents. I love everything that it produces. I love knowing that I'm making a difference in a very tangible way, in a selfless way. And he goes, you got to make that jump and do it. And so, you know, that was full time. And then, you know, silly me, I go, let's start a second nonprofit that's just as big and energized as Troops Direct is. And yeah, I can do that too. And, you know, here I am. And I probably had a full head of hair when I started everything back in the day. But now it's truly, I mean, it's a full-time, 25-hour-a-day, 8-day-a-week job with a very, very small staff that supports what the organizations do.
Yeah, so tell me about the inner workings of your agency. Tell me how you guys procure donations and revenue and some of the stuff you're up to. And then tell me about the staff that you have there. I'd love to hear about that.
Sure. So we partner in large part, like 95%, with a company out of Anderson, South Carolina called TACMed Solutions, Tactical Medical Solutions. They're very much like your NAR, your Chinook, or whatever. But TACMed has partnered with us. And I mean, they are the owner of TACMed, the chairman, Ross Johnson. He was a former Green Beret medic. He created the tourniquet as we all know it today from his time in Iraq. And before that, it was like World War II era stuff. I mean, beaches of Normandy to, you know, the first days of Iraq, it was the same tourniquet. But from there, we had this relationship where we've been buying all this stuff from them. And so when Cops Direct came about, I said, we've got this vision. Will you help us get there? And so now what happens, Dennis, is they are fielding requests from departments that don't have the funding to get the stuff they need in the realm of tactical medical care, your tourniquets, your chest seals, your stretchers, your mass casualty bags, all those kind of things. And they're saying, you know what, this department needs it, but they don't have the funding. Does Cops Direct want to, you know, underwrite and sponsor this? We're getting requests organically in here. You know, departments are saying, hey, we heard about you. We need stuff. Can you help us out? And what we're doing is partnering with TACMED for the most part. But we also do a lot with Team Wendy helmets and some other companies out there. And we're acquiring what these departments need to the letter. So we don't have a big old warehouse here, Dennis, with forklifts buzzing around picking stuff. We are fielding the request exactly as the department asks for it. And then we are going to TACMED or Team Wendy or whomever it might be and saying, we need these items right here and we need them shipped to, you know, San Bernardino County in Southern California, Boise, Idaho, Spring Hill, New York. I mean, the biggest of towns, the smallest of towns, Berkeley, California. That's what we do now. And it's awesome that we're able to give these cops what they need. Dude, I mean, cops have got so much on their shoulders right now that to be able to help them, you know, a little bit is a big thing.
I think that you guys, and this is kind of off the beaten path a little bit because I do teach in California and it is a 100% different sentiment on the West Coast towards law enforcement. Not everywhere. I'm not painting with a broad brush, but especially places like where you're at in San Francisco and the Los Angeles area. Similar to New York City, which the police had a lot of respect for a lot of years, and that's gone. That's over, yeah. In New York City, except like certain boroughs like Staten Island. You could drive around Staten Island, New York, and you'll see blue ribbons everywhere. People love their police in Staten Island. They're protected. Like, it's no bullshit. I do have to say that I do believe that, yeah, that we have gone through a time where it was really an anti-police sentiment. I think the pendulum has shifted back. People have had enough. But I know I talked to guys and girls in California who are like, oh, no, people fucking hate us here. Mm-hmm. So it's a very interesting thing.
We're in San Ramon, California, which is 30 miles east of San Francisco. That's where we live. That's where we work, all that kind of stuff. And I've talked to street cops here. I mean, literally, it's like a Target, a Home Depot, a Costco, and then the rest is homes out here. And the cops are driving down the streets and there's 8-year-olds giving them the middle finger. It's like, what the hell? I mean, but you're right. You don't see that in other places. I mean, we are in the hotbed of hate for law enforcement. It's frankly, pardon my French, was bullshit, because they're the first people that respond when anybody calls 911. We all know that.
Again, I am comfortable in saying 99% of this country supports law enforcement. People get very confused because they see the 99% of people who are supporting you, they're working. They got kids. They're normal human beings. Mm-hmm. You know, these are people who have lives, so they can't sit on social media all day and defend you nonstop.
Keyboard commandos.
Yeah, listen, they're these less than 1% of the population. And listen, I'm not sitting here saying that the profession is perfect.
But, you know, here's the thing, Dennis, that was really, you know, when we go back about 5 or 6 years, and I have two young boys, but, you know, there was this TV show, a cartoon thing for kids called Paw Patrol. And when all this, you know, defund the police stuff happened and all that, you know what they did? They edited out the police dog in it. This was a little, you know, cheesy little puppy thing running around, but they edited him out because of the wokeness. And the danger is that the kids get that vibe and that carries on into their, you know, into their teens and forward from there. And so it's that 1% like you're talking about, but the media loves to take that traction and take this, you know, woke approach to it, you know, and that's the thing that gets me so spun up is that, you know, all these people that want to say, fuck the police, defund the police, you know, all those things are the first ones that are calling 911 when something bad happens to them.
If we're looking to resolve a problem, this is not the approach to resolve a problem. We're open to having communication and conversation. And a company like ours, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, I say this quite often, and other companies as well, we're looking to solve the problem. There are people out here who recognize that we can make change, and we are making change. We're actually having progress and change. And it's wonderful to meet a man like yourself who has found, probably similar to how I found, that the giving portion of it is so rewarding versus many other things in your life.
Yeah.
What you guys are doing.
And we're enabling to do something. You know, the cops have been dealt a new responsibility, Dennis, and that is to, you know, be the front line in mass shootings, you know, the schools, shopping malls, all those kind of things. I mean, they're the first guys in the door now. And EMS is having to sit back there and sit, unfortunately, on their hands because they can't go into an active situation. So the cops have inherited this new responsibility. And just the increase in violence overall, there's this, you know, I mean, I don't remember a cop carrying a tourniquet back in the 80s or the 90s. I don't know if you do, but I don't remember that ever being anything. But I mean, really, in the last, you know, 10 to 15 years, the just if you pass by a cop and you just kind of look at what he's got on his duty belt or on his, you know, on his chest rig or whatever, you're going to see a tourniquet somewhere. And so for us to be able to say, look, you don't have the funding, you don't have the support, you don't have the wherewithal, you've got a big question mark over your head of how do we do this as a department? And we're able to come in and say, we got your back, let's make it happen. I mean, it's an awesome thing.
I am going to address us seeing tourniquets on police officers now, because while I do have my position, I don't want to call it an agenda. I would say my agenda is revealing the truth and revealing processes to improve the truth. You know, a tourniquet is a tool, much like you see the taser now. We have found a way to improve the job. Four years for the history of this country, probably the history of the world. Unfortunately, law enforcement officers have been getting killed in line of duty. Do I think that we have mitigated that and continue to mitigate that number every year? Yes. Yes. I actually believe that the efforts of myself and other training companies have been able to keep names off the wall in Washington, D.C. So I think the tourniquet is something that came out of, that's something that was saving a lot of lives out of Iraq and Afghanistan, brought back home because a lot of guys in the military are police officers, and started really finding its place in the field here and has saved a lot of lives. Mm-hmm. And technology has improved as well. So, I mean, you've got, I don't know, and I don't want to speak out of context here, 3,000 shootings in Chicago, right? 3,000 shooting victims, something like that, ballpark. And I hate, again, don't hold me on the number, but it's up.
Right. A significant amount in comparison.
Yeah, and just technology has gotten so good and the tourniquet has been available now. That number 10 years ago, 20 years ago, on the survival rate, because that's 3,000 shot, not 3,000 killed.
Right.
You know, survival rate has increased dramatically from what I've been told. It's the violence has always been here. I think the internet plays a role, and I'm saying I'm not demonizing the internet, but the internet certainly plays a role in our perceptions. And if you're an easily swayed soft mind, you're going to see things and believe it. I mean, listen, dude, I even had my parents at one point and, you know, say to me, "Hey, would you think about that one was a little much?" I went, "Hey, are you guys fucking kidding me? Like, what are you talking about? Like, you're really that much into the news?" I give me things I've done that doesn't look pretty that you would have looked at and said, that seemed violent. I go, because I got, you know why I did that? And they're like, why? I'm like, because it was a violent encounter. Mm-hmm. And I had to counter that violence with violence.
Right.
There was no talking a guy off the, this dude was not coherent. This person was not cooperating. Matter of fact, they were refusing to cooperate.
Right.
And they were a dangerous person. So we had to take physical action to intervene and achieve a law enforcement objective. And it's not pretty. Not sitting there shaking the guy's hand, talk. It is a violent looking thing.
Violence or the response to a violent action is never pretty. I mean, on the medical side or on the actual over, you know, engagement side, it sucks on both ends of it.
How do you guys raise funds?
The big thing that we've done, and we continue to improve it, but we found the best and most efficient way for us being a small organization is direct mail. We've just gone out to the masses and said, hey, we are here. We exist. Here's what our cops are facing. Here's how we are, you know, here's how we're mitigating it. Here's the proof of our support going out. And the public has said, yes, we've had a huge response. I mean, from Maine to Florida to Washington to California, and everywhere in between, the response has been huge. When we started direct mail back in 2016, riot shields and tactical helmets and all those kind of things, but they didn't like that. The public was like, no, we don't want to support law enforcement in that way. But when we started saying we're also doing these medical supplies that were starting to ramp up really, really quick, because in the early days, Dennis, it was, let's give cops, you know, replacement duty belts and replacement, you know, light bars and whatever it is, we'll source it and go like there. But we realized that that stuff didn't matter. Everything came back to medical, search and rescue, to include hostage rescue stuff, but nothing that was an offensive weapon or anything like that. And when we started articulating that to the masses, they're like, I've never heard of this need for law enforcement. And I've never heard of any other organization wanting to support law enforcement in this way. It's been great. What's funny is that when we go on the news, radio, you know, mainstream radio and stuff like that, public doesn't care. But when they are able to kind of sit down and absorb what we do and why we do what we do, they're like, yeah, let's get behind this thing.
You know, oftentimes there are organizations, sometimes I think we've all received the calls of the telemarketers procuring revenues for police union organizations, and everybody tells you don't donate to those things.
I get those calls all the time.
Yeah. I mean, we just hang up on them. How do you establish and maintain transparency where people are comfortable knowing the money that they're donating to you guys goes right to the cause?
You know, I mean, the main thing that we do is on like the front page of our website, we put like up some of the most recent invoices up there. And we literally are saying, here's where the money's going. You know, I mean, there, of course, there is an expense for the direct mail. You know, we've got a team of, you know, 2.5 here, 2 full-time and 1 part-time. But I mean, it's really that, you know, showing the public that it's not going to some abyss like some of these larger organizations. You know, where did my donation go? Here's where it went. I mean, look at the financials, look at the, you know, look at the paid invoices that we put on the site and stuff like that. The nice thing also is that we're able to get law enforcement on occasion to be much more candid about the benefits of what we've done for them compared to the military, where you can't have a service member who's in the middle of Central America or Africa or the Pacific or Eastern Europe or wherever talk about why we got them stuff that they couldn't procure through the military supply chain.
As you're speaking, I remember reading an article, and I'm in business. I understand business. I understand the value of leadership and why there are high paid CEOs, CMOs, COOs, CCOs, and the C/whatever letter you put in the middle goes on for days and days.
Yeah.
So I say to myself, you know, it's so interesting. You'll have these hit jobs being done by the media, of course, one-sided. They'll write like, oh, the CEO of American Red Cross makes $694,000 a year. The CEO of Wounded Warrior Project makes $612,000 a year. But you got to understand something. They've recruited and probably got a discount somebody who has the actual brain power to run an organization like that. So when I see that money going to somebody who has those skills and they want to utilize those skills to build the company. So it's so interesting. Yeah, you paid $691 for this woman. But if you didn't have her, instead of sending out $1 million or $20 million, you'd be sending out $3 million. So you understand the upfront investment of a good CEO or a good chief marketing officer and the return you can expect and anticipate. But of course, people don't understand that. So they make judgments immediately on it. So I like when I look at you, I'm like, of course, I mean, you forfeited a life that you had a successful career at. I'm sure you've, you know, and I don't want to go into your financials, but people have to understand, like, I know that you're going to have to take a salary to come out and do this stuff. But if you didn't do it, and we didn't pay you a salary, who the fuck would do it? So it's only fair.
Well, you know, you're right. I mean, I have nothing to hide and everything is on the financials. But I mean, yes, I take a salary. Would I be making more if I was doing something else? You better believe it. If I took what I know from the world of nonprofits and got hired by some big for-profit firm on Wall Street, I'd probably make 5 times, you know, the little bit that I'm making here. You know, you're right. If we don't have the people that can commit 60 hours a week to this thing, whatever that thing is, whether it's the Red Cross or it's, you know, cops direct or troops or whatever, you know, it doesn't exist. What gets me upset in the realm of nonprofits, and I'm not going to name names, but you hear about some of these nonprofits in the news and, you know, they're flying around in Lear jets. You know, they've got these big, huge events where, you know, they're showing off, you know, and it's just kind of almost a gross misuse of funds that people have donated to an organization. There's a lot of organizations that, you know, it's tough to say where your money went, but you know they're doing good because they're out there. The proof is in the pudding. They're ever present. But then there's somewhere, hey, I gave that organization and what did it do? And that's why I've always believed in putting everything out there and saying, here's what we're all about, Dennis. Here's what we do. Here's why we do. Here's our financials. Here's the invoices on the main page. Ask any question. I'll give you the honest answer. And, you know, you can't go wrong when you tell the truth and you're a good steward of the organization. I think the best part of that is that when, you know, you're able to save a life, at what cost does that life not matter? And we've saved lives on both sides. We've saved children's lives. I mean, it's fucked up to even talk about that. But I mean, through Cops Direct and Troops Direct, we have saved the lives of children by virtue of, or I should rephrase, cops and service members have saved the lives of children and other innocent people because they used what we were able to donate to them. I take no credit for a life being saved. I wasn't there.
What's the traction and growth of the organization looking like now? I mean, are you guys, as you get more eyes on you, less obscurity? And how are you managing that? And where do you see the organization going?
Well, you know, a year ago, we made the decision to invest in a development director, a guy named, you know, Jake White. He lives in Orlando, Florida. And Jake has just been absolutely phenomenal in, you know, taking the development role on and really engaging with the donor base and trying to grow them. And I can tell you that, you know, with his efforts, and I can't name names, but there have been some people that have made some very significant contributions to us so that we can do what we do because they recognize what we're doing. Moreover, I think some of the biggest traction that we've gotten is that we've developed relationships like TACMED as an example. TACMED has a new product out, and it's, maybe you've heard of it, Dennis. It's called the Emmet. And it is literally, it is as close to a human being cadaver training implement as you could do on a non-human being. And it was actually designed by the animation side of the animatronic side of Lucasfilms that did like Chewbacca and all that kind of stuff and Star Wars stuff before green screens and CGI. We are now working with TACMED because they're, you know, realizing our power to get out to departments. And we're putting these Emmets into locations, you know, it's a $70,000, $80,000, $100,000 unit, depending on how it's configured. And we're able to put it now in front of, you know, 90 or 100 departments in a larger region that use it to train. And we just did one for Denver earlier this year. You know, I mean, that kind of growth is something we never thought that we would be doing, you know, this early in the tenure of Cops Direct, and that response and that, you know, the training side and all those things. And, you know, I credit a lot of that to Jake to help him get the support to do that in the ways that I just didn't have enough hours in the day to do, you know, if yeah, I answered your question.
You answered my question. It's good. I sit here and I say to myself, it's very interesting to me because I, it's speaking to my soul, would like to help you guys as well. And we'll talk about that more off air of what I can do to try to help support you in any sense that we can. We got a lot of shit going on too. You know how it is, man. You're running an organization. Sure. There's a lot going on.
Have you heard about this Emmet though?
Yes.
I think it's amazing.
I know they have. Yeah, it is. It was actually brought to my attention. They actually have, I think they make limbs too. So you can buy just limbs to work on.
So the one we donated to Denver, it is complete human anatomy. I mean, head to toe. I mean, from the junk down below to everything. And it's got this remote control, Bluetooth or whatever, and the instructor can set it to femoral hemorrhage, gunshot wound here. You know, I mean, you can do NPAs on them, tension pneumothorax, all these things that you can treat now that you never were able to. I mean, the thing bleeds real blood, and it will only stop bleeding if you, in fact, apply the tourniquet properly. You know, you put enough tension on it, great, you save the life or you save the limb. You do it like you think it's okay, and things still bleeding, like tourniquets. We were talking about that. A lot of cops, a lot of people buy tourniquets And I hate to say, you see some of these, you know, these roles, these reels on YouTube about, you know, tourniquet applications gone wrong and these guys don't know how to use them, but this training stuff is huge. So,
yeah, you know, it's good that people like you and I and other people in this world are taking this stuff very seriously, because I think some people think it doesn't matter or it's not going to happen to them. But then when it does, they're probably pretty happy that they reached out to Cops Direct or got some kind of medical training and were able to save a life or save a life their own.
You know, we did not support the police departments, you know, at Sandy Hook or, you know, Uvalde or Columbine or any of those places. But, you know, think about those towns. That wasn't New York City or San Francisco or Chicago or Los Angeles. These are, you know, flyover towns in many respects that no one had ever heard of. So, you know what? Yeah, you know what's going to happen to you in the big cities. But, I mean, the reality is now, this is it. I think more people now know than ever that it could happen in my own backyard now, because it's happening in everybody else's backyard.
It's wild stuff. Where can people, like, how do other cops get involved? How can people find you guys? How do we support? How do we put up links for donations? How do you take that stuff? Give it all to us.
You know, I mean, I would ask anybody to start by going to copsdirect.org. That's our, you know, that's our website. Go through there, see what we do. I mean, you know, read some of the testimonials. I would, you know, for the cops that are, you know, watching this, hey, I mean, I would love, please, I mean, I'm asking, please, you know, give us any testimonials on how medical devices have helped you do your job, saved your life, the life of a partner. If there's any, you know, spouses out there that, you know, want to, you know, talk about their view of it. I mean, those kind of things help us articulate to the masses why providing law enforcement with tactical medical equipment is so important. To that end, for the departments that need it, and I'll be honest, I mean, we're stacked up with requests right now for like 4 months because our momentum has just gotten so huge. But there's departments that truly need stuff, not, oh, gee, let's see if we can get it. But man, we need this stuff. Reach out to us because we want to be able to help as many departments as we can. You know, you want tear gas, we're not your guys. You know, but you need litters, need search and rescue stuff, whatever. I mean, we're your go-to if your department can't source it.
It's funny that you say that. Like, oh, let's call and try to get some free stuff. You know, that's the thing that bothers me is I've seen there be somebody who's a big donor and they're just buying shit that they don't need just because it's like supermarket sweep. And that's a fucking old reference for a guy like me and you. But you know,
guys, grocery games, take it to modern day.
Yeah. Supermarket sweep. But, and I've seen it. Oh, we need this. We need scuba gear. You're like, you never get, we needed this. We needed a fucking lifeboat. And nobody ever used it once. It was just like wasted money tossed aside because it was free money. And you know, I hate to see that because I think people can get scrappy on their own if they have to go to a place like Cops Direct. And it just takes a little elbow grease and some work and some tenacity to get out there and try to find some donors of your own. And I would encourage everybody that if you do need equipment, go into your community and do the research. You'd be surprised how fast you stumble upon some folks that are ready to provide for the police.
Yeah.
Who have a means of well-being.
And we've got individuals that say, when you have this type of request, call me and I will underwrite it. We've got individuals say, hey, if it's in the, and I'm using a random example here, but if it's in the Denver, Colorado area and the surrounding areas, if there's a need, call me and I will underwrite it because it's helping, you know, them in their greater community. And the nice thing that we're able to do is say, Dennis, this request is going to be $2,132.12. You know, there's no ambiguity there. And so, you know, people know what, you know, we need to affect that support. It's a growing machine. And I love every day of it. I mean, I love talking to these cops and hearing about how we've, you know, helped stuff out, but you know,
how about social media? You guys on social?
Yep. Everything's a Troops Direct. So, you know, Instagram at Troops Direct, Facebook, Twitter. We're not TikToking or, you know, Pinteresting or any of that kind of stuff, but the main stuff we are.
Let me just jump in here real quick and just readdress that TikTok is the main stuff now.
I know. You know, I'll tell you something. I'm actually talking to a fellow who's in his early 20s right now for both of our organizations because, you know, in talking to our boards of directors are like, hey, we are not the people to be doing social media. I mean, you really need like a 22-year-old kid to be doing this because they know how to do it. And on the Troops Direct side, one of our board members, a guy named Jake Zwig, he was a Navy SEAL. He was on TV. He's got a huge social media presence. And he's the guy, he's like, you know, our contemporary. He's like, we ain't the guys to do this. He goes, you got to get down to the, you know, these kids that know how to do this and how it all works. So
I think just be careful with the social media people. This is a piece of advice. A lot of people are very romantic with the idea of being a social media person. It is few and far between. I am fortunate enough to have people here that actually know it very well, including myself, that are very, very talented at it.
Yeah.
It's tough. And you could be duped very easily because you don't know what you're getting into, because you don't know what it is. So if you're saying, hey, I don't know what it is.
The great thing is that we've got a guy that donates all of his like time for like media to us. His name is Sean Herrero. I mean, anybody needs probably the best mortgage broker in the world, Sean Herrero, just Google him. But he also on the side, he does like all of our, you know, if we have an event, he'll do photography and video. But his son, Ashton, is like this social media like genius down in he's down in Los Angeles area. And so we've been talking to Ashton about it. And because his dad is so close to us, we know the kid's not going to mess it up. So, but yeah, it's been tough to find a good social media person. Cause like you said, Dennis, and there's a lot of this, but you know,
I'll tell you a funny story just to give you a little context. My friend who owns a big organization said, we were looking to find social media people. Then, you know, one conversation, he's like, I hired somebody. I go, well, who'd you hire? Because we're good at social. That's one of our fortes. And so he goes, I hired this company. I go, that's cool. What's the name of it? So I go on social media. I can't find them. As a matter of fact, they have a shitty social media following. I go on their LinkedIn. It's horrible. And I said, so they're so good at social, they don't even know how to do their own correctly.
Yeah.
How did you come across these people? Well, somebody referred me. I go, you need to, what are you paying a month? And he was paying a crazy, like $6,000 a month. I said, you need to fire them immediately. Not that I'm saying $6,000 isn't worth it for somebody who knows what they're doing, but these people were completely clueless. And this is the thing that you get all the time. And it's easy to fool Janet's flower shop, who's doing nothing on social. We've had people, listen, we've always interviewed for social media positions. And we've had people like, send over your Instagram work, send over the work you've done. I don't even have to call them. Now, I will also say this, though. I can also recognize when there actually is some talent that can be cultivated a little bit. But, dude, people, you know, I'll get somebody like Janet's Flower Shop. I'm like, so you manage Janet's Flower Shop? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, cool. Did you do the last like 30 posts? Yeah. How long have you been working for Janet for? 9 months. So in 9 months, you did 43 posts. Yep. Do you have how many followers in 9 months? 312? 312 followers in 9 months. Okay.
And how much is
the engagement on your posts?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's great. How much is Janet paying you? Right. And it's like, what's your engagement look like? And they're like, well, let's look at your social media. Here's the first post. You have 3 likes, no comments. Next one, 7 likes, no comments. Next one, 1 like, 1 comment. So you're telling me you're a social media, and it's just this eighth place trophy bullshit where they believe because their mom told them they were good.
You know, here's the thing also is that, and I'm a cynic in this realm, is that, you know, there's this term awareness. Oh, we're going to raise awareness for you on social media. We're going to, you know, awareness is this mystical thing that is intangible. It can't be quantified. You know, hey, nobody went to your website and donated, you know, $19 a month. You know, nobody, you know, did any of that stuff, but we increased awareness. Well, how did you do that? Well, look at how many likes and shares you had. Great. Did anybody, you know, actually click on the donate button or go in and buy the flowers from your flower shop or whatever it is, Janet? And there's no, but we created awareness. Well, you know what? Awareness doesn't get cops what they need.
Right. Well, I mean, there's two sides to it. So I'll say there's brand building and marketing. They're not the same. Brand building is something where you're trying to get awareness out there. That's so you're uncovering that this thing exists. And then, you know, when you provide enough value, you've speaking to somebody's soul, then you're going to have the conversion on it. So the marketing side of it, where you're going to convert. And there's two different kinds of campaigns to run. I think you should be running both at the same time. And I mean, I have a lot of ideas, but Aaron, anything we can do to help support you guys, like we're in, you know, you have it for me. I will say that we're fucking crazy busy. So I don't want to tell you that. And then like, you're calling me 4 hours a day and you're like, hey, we support Blue Wives Matter. We support her in the sense that she sends patches out to children whose parents were killed in the line of duty. They're police officers' kids. So she sends them like three or four patches every month each. She has 200 kids she's looking after. I do the best I can with her. We actually had three instructors come today, and including myself, we probably have just between, because we have 40 over 40 instructors here. I would say that we probably got 500-600 patches today here to send out to Kristen Swayze. But outside of that, there's not much more I have time for. Sure. And I'm not trying to sound rude. We're also, and I, you know, it's weird to say this, but we've had a lot of members of Street Cop Training. And when I say members, our family, people who have joined our Facebook groups and follow us on Instagram. And they're the people who have subscribed to what we do as far as a mission. And, you know, often at times it's unfortunate, but people do lose their lives, whether through a line of duty incident or some other kind of tragic event or terminal illness. And I'll say to their friends when they reach out, like, yo, what can we do for you guys? And they say, like, Pete would have just wanted you to do what you're doing. Right. So I try to think about that. Like, I'm trying to think about, how do I prioritize my time to use it the most appropriately? I will. You have my complete support. Anything I can do for you guys, it within the context of reality of what I can do.
Where, you know, we're really starting to work on the training side of stuff. It's very easy to give an individual, you know, a chest seal, a tourniquet, an NPA, a whatever it is, a entire, you know, $2,000 active shooter response kit. How to implement that? How to use it in a certain type of situation. I mean, those are places where, you know, we're really trying to embellish the training side of stuff. It's like, you know, great, here's a race car. If you don't know how to drive it, it's not going to do anything for you.
I'm glad you brought that up, because we have a guy named Sean Barnett, who's actually our medical tactical trainer. And the guy is a paramedic instructor. He flew 75 plus combat missions in support of special forces in Afghanistan. He's a paramedic, a firefighter, and he's a medic on a SWAT team and in Oklahoma City. I don't know if there's anybody who loves this more than he does. And I'm sure he'll tell you he's not the only one who knows it, but he's great. And this is a hell of a program. And you know what the crazy thing is, Aaron? It's wild to me. When I put this program together, I had an idea to try to find somebody like this. I said, God, this is so important. Everybody needs to know this. And the enrollment in his class is one of the lowest enrollments, because people just don't believe they're ever going to need it. Yeah. Unfortunately,
the enrollment goes right up after everything happens. That's once it's too late.
I think that some of this stuff really should be mandatory and shoved down their throats. Unfortunately, because you'll thank us later. When you go to a class like ours, we're a different breed of instructors. You know, he is not some boring EMT who's old and out of shape. You know, he's a lively young guy who's got a lot of experience, and he's like using foul language, and people are very, you know, I'm telling you right now, publicly known, we use foul language in our training programs. You know why?
Oh my gosh. How could you? That might offend people.
Oh, it does, by the way.
Yeah. Have you guys heard, by the way, down in South Carolina, we do a lot down there with Troops Direct. There's this place in Lawrence, South Carolina. Okay. And Lawrence is south of Greenville. And it's called the Sawmill. And it is the most amazing tactical training facility that you can realistically get your hands on. And it was founded by a guy with the 160th, so the Night Stalkers, or the SOCOM, you know, division of aviation division of SOCOM. And this guy, Steve Brown, down there, I mean, he has got a facility for training. Law enforcement is out there all the time. I mean, they're doing awesome. SWAT games out there. I mean, this place is deep. So I know New Jersey's a little bit north of there, but man, it's still kind of in your backyard compared to here, but we still get out there 2-3 times a year. It's that good. The Sawmill. So
that's awesome, man. Yeah. Promote it up, man. I want everybody to get, listen, we're not sitting here saying that we're the monopoly of police training, not yet at least, you know, but we will, you know, I think at some point there'll probably be 5 companies in the country that will provide the best training that's available for law enforcement. And I certainly believe in my heart that we're competitors in that, or we're trying to be that, because we are designing our training to be very different and more effective than stuff that's been traditional in the past. And again, there's a lot of really good training companies out there. It's not just Street Cop Training. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of crappy ones too. And you can't,
Yeah.
We can't accept crappy training anymore. It just doesn't work. And actually, it's funny because we have a guy who works here. I was in an academy, and I was very pleased to hear yesterday that they got rid of baton training in their program for recruits. And they're now going to Brazilian jiu-jitsu the whole time. That's what they're doing. And I've been recommending that for a long time. I'm not owed some kind of credit to that. I'm just glad to see it.
Yeah.
We get thousands of messages a year of, oh my God, we rescued these people. We saved these people. My life was saved. I don't need a life-saving award. That's all I need back is the work that we're doing, the efforts we put forward are coming back thousandfold and saying, yeah, it's working. So when people say, do you think you're having an impact? I know we're having an impact. And I know it's guys like you that I get to meet on this podcast and start to do great things with, man. I hope we have a great relationship for a long time.
Yeah. And, you know, and I hate to say it, but you're right. I mean, there's a lot of bad trainers out there. There's a lot of people that by virtue of one thing they did once upon a time, they think they're qualified as trainers. And, you know, the ripple effect that bad training can have on a department or a unit or a region can be catastrophic in certain respects. But also on the other end of it, you know, I mean, I think the training that you guys are doing, it sounds like the more realistic and the more just hard and hard, not meaning difficult, but the reality of, you know, what stuff is like. I mean, what the gunshot wound really looks like, what the takedown, what the de-escalation, what the victims really look like in that situation, stuff that often is not, you know, really given enough, you know, not enough attention is paid to it. And those are the things that really are critical in that moment. You know, I mean, because with law enforcement also, Dennis, you know, you get a call, you don't have, you know, 6 months to do a workup before you deploy to go do it. And not to minimize what the cops do or the troops do, because God love those guys. But you've got to be so fast on stuff and to be able to file it through your brain that quick that, you know, I mean, like the harder and more realistic and more, you know, real it is something that people are still afraid to put out there in the realm of training. And that's why that Emmett is so great, in my opinion.
I wonder if you guys get into like a almost like a nonprofit franchising type of deal. Like, you know, I bet you could find 10 motivated guys in the state of New Jersey who like what your mission is and want to do what you guys are doing out there over here on the Cops Direct platform and forum. We have a conference in Nashville, Tennessee, April 23rd to 28th of 2023. Mm-hmm. I'd like to figure out a way to get you guys there. You know, I'm inviting you to attend on us. It's a very powerful experience. We've really had some major significant keynotes.
Well, we're actually working on trying to get one of those Emmets put into the greater Nashville, Knoxville, Chattanooga region right now. We're working on that. It's probably the third Emmett that we'll put out there. So yeah, and that would be phenomenal.
Yeah, if you guys want to get an Emmett together, if you can, for that event in Nashville, but we'll figure it out. I'd like to have you guys there because my heart's saying you got to do something to help out as well here. And I'm going to do the best I can to try to help you guys with whatever I can, but I'll call you on your cell phone and we'll talk further about what we can do together.
Yeah.
And just know, at least at a very minimum, you have my support.
I hate, and I'll just be very frank, I hate parading people around that have had something bad happen to them for the purpose of benefiting what we do. But sometimes it's that person's, yeah, I'll talk about what happened. I'll talk about how, you know, as it pertains to Cops Direct, I'll talk about how this shooting impacted me or how I, as a civilian, you know, was rescued by law enforcement, or I, as a cop, was shot, or I lost my partner, or whatever. I mean, that stuff helps us show the public that, hey, these are the realities of what happens everywhere. And so, I mean, I would offer anybody that wants to be candid with us, and help us kind of, you know, mate the reality of what we do to the reality of what it's like on the street, to, you know, to contact me, Aaron@copsdirect.org. I mean, I'd love that.
Listen, we're going to wrap it here. I'm going to make sure you get my cell phone number. Again, you can check them out at copsdirect.org and on all social media platforms, Troops Direct. Give those guys a like. They're doing a good cause out there. And if you have some money that you're looking to donate, this sounds like a great cause. And I'm proud to have met you today. I'm very happy that we crossed paths and awesome. Another wonderful thing to get to do this work. Yeah,
totally.
It's cool, man.
Next time,
hey, thanks for being here,
brother. Next time I'm out in Jersey, I'll make sure I get a hold of you too.
Yeah, I'll bring you to have some real decent food out here. All right, brother, I appreciate
it. Hey, Dennis, thanks for all the support, man. I appreciate it.
Guys, if you're in an area where you're trying to get to our classes, but we're not close to you, fret not. We actually have on-demand training at StreetCop.com. You can take that course online right now, and then you could attend that training in the future at no additional cost. You can redeem your voucher, so you get two for the price of one. We don't want to deny you the ability to take this training now, especially knowing that it can keep you safe, at a very minimum, putting bad guys in jail where they belong, and at the maximum, going home to your family. Check out StreetCop.com for that offer.